Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast. I am Mike, the Fever's Fanero, and I am here to bring you another 2022 rookie profile. And I'm also here with a guest, Todd Foster, co-host of the Tale of Two Rivals podcast. You can find him on Twitter at FF_Banterman, a local mock draft near you. And today, right here with me, Todd, how are you, man?
I'm okay, man. I haven't mock draft yet today. So, you know, it hasn't been quite a complete day for me. So once I get a mock in today, it'll be perfect.
We'll jump in one right after the show.
Perfect, man. I love me some mocks, man.
Who doesn't? Who doesn't? I did a lot more last year, though. I'm very disappointed with myself. I did, I think it was 60 mocks last year, and I'm only at like 22 this season. So I'm like kind of disappointed with myself. I must be busy doing stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat too. But you know, like my excuse is like raising a new human. So
yeah, you do have a new human. 3 weeks, yep. Right?
Three weeks. I have a 3 week old. It's my number two too, and my other one's 3.5. So you know, things are busy.
Yeah, humans take some time to raise, that's for sure, especially at that age. Yeah, they can't do anything on their own at that age.
No, I always make the joke like, you can't do this yet. Like my 3-year-old, this grow up joke. No, it's awesome though, man. I'm loving it. And you know, I'm on school vacations. I already have my 2 weeks paternity leave too. So I've had tons of time with my kids, and pretty much like it's great. Like my 2 weeks of paternity leave, I literally did rankings and mock drafts, and then I got really into the PFF like NFL draft like mock draft simulator, and I think I mocked up to like pick 95 of draft, and then like everybody traded every pick, and I was like, oh my god, man, like this is such a waste of my time. But at the same time, I was like, that was fun.
So as our listeners can hear, Todd is also a degenerate, all about college football, loves everything fantasy. Todd, are you ready to get into this one?
Heck yeah, man, let's do it.
Rookie Fevers Rookie Player Profile Edition.
Let's start off with the easy one. Please tell our listeners, they probably already read the description, who you chose, but more importantly, why.
All right. So I chose Jalen Tolbert, wide receiver out of Southern Alabama, who is actually from Mobile, Alabama, and he was a 2-star recruit out of high school. So he actually stayed in his hometown to go play in college. Not a lot of recruiting pieces, and he is my number 9 wide receiver overall, and I'm very high on him. Now, you might say like number 9 is not very high, but this is a deep class. 9 is high. You know, because like in other classes that aren't as deep as this, I could easily see him being a top 5 wide receiver prospect in a lot of other classes. So I am loving this guy. And there's definitely some pieces we got to see the kind of like what shake out because of the draft. But the potential is there. And I'm excited to get into it with you tonight.
Yeah, me too. So he's a junior, 6'1", 194 pounds. He was the focal point of South Alabama's passing attack this past season. Saw 129 targets and caught 82 passes for 1,474 yards and 8 touchdowns just last year. He finished his career with 306 targets, 178 catches, and over 3,000 yards and 22 touchdowns. To add to that, Tolbert is also a 3-sport athlete. It was a little late to play in football, actually.
He is.
And has been described as silky smooth runner with natural ball tracking, probably because of that baseball background, if I had to guess.
100% true about him. 100%
true. I love the sound of all of that. What do you like most about Tolbert?
I think the thing I like the most about Tolbert is that he's consistently gotten better, and he's just as ultra athletic, and it's that silky smoothness. He's a great route runner. He knows how to get separation, and his body control and the way he adjusts the balls. Because you know what? At Southern Alabama, you're not getting Bryce Young throwing you the football. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to make adjustments to the football. There's this one play that's in particular. It's his first catch against Tennessee where he blows by the guy, gets a little separation up the, and one-hands it right on that sideline. I mean, that, like, that's against a guy. Now, that was, I believe that was Altante Taylor, who's a top 10 cornerback recruit for this class. So like you're talking about like, yeah, the competition was there, but he played up to his competition. He's had a freaking huge game against Coastal Carolina. You know, he had 10 catches, 191 yards in the TD. That was in a very good defense this year. But I think the thing that I love about him is like his sophomore year, he started coming into his own. And you see him put up, he puts up like 521 yards, you know, on only 21 catches. So he's almost averaging 20 yards a catch. Nice. Still six of those are TDs. So that to me is a little mini breakout, you know? So what's he do in 2020? He blows up seventh in FBS with over 1,000 receiving yards on 64 catches and 8 scores. That's when people are looking at him. I was looking at him as a sleeper in last year's draft. Like, that was the guy I'm like, fourth round, I want Jalen Tolbert. Because, like, he was kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, he didn't put up the numbers he did now.
Sure.
And, like, we're still not talking about him as a shoe-in for the second round of rookie drafts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now he blows up, and he made the smart decision. So he just consistently got better. And the other thing that's cool to point out is that his quarterback was Jake Bentley, who I don't know if anyone remembers. He was a starter at South Carolina. You know, and then like he came. So like once he signed, Joe Tolbert's like, yeah, this guy can probably bring me to the next level. You know what
nice,
I mean?
Nice.
So that was like a nice pairing. And I was like, that was a guy, that was a pairing that I was throwing out as like a very cheap stack in C2C last year. You know, I'm nice. Like, because it's more Tolbert coming in with a kid who like started for the SEC. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So like, yeah. So I mean, like Tolbert, man, like he's got the speed. He's got the separation. He's got the ball control. He's got the swag, too. He's a guy, wide receivers need to be cocky. They need to look at the guy across the way, look at Jalen Ramsey and say, I don't give a shit that you're Jalen Ramsey. I'm going to get by you, and I'm going to be the better football player.
Nice.
And, like, Jalen Tolbert's got swag.
Week 12, he plays Tennessee, and that's the game that a lot of analysts will look at to say, yeah, he's in a small school, but I watched every play in that Tennessee game, and the very first pass to him was a drop.
Yep.
And he had, I believe, 8 drops last season.
Yep.
And I know your co-host doesn't care about drops at all. No. Mr. No. David Wright.
Yeah, because they're opportunities.
Yes. Nice. He'll like hearing that.
Yeah.
But you know, in all fairness, Devontae Adams had the drops as soon as he joined the NFL. Like, you know, drops is one of those things. I'm all about route running. If you can run,
yeah,
good routes and get separation, like that's what I need to see. And they do look like just bad drops too. Like it would be right. One thing if he just doesn't look like he has soft hands and he's just catching on his body or something like that. It's none of that. So 47% of his 143 yards, yes, I did the math, was on one catch for 68 yards, and that 68 yard catch was also a touchdown, and all of it looked good. It was, yep. I'm not going to try to say that it was blown coverage or anything like that. All of it looked good, but I wanted to put that Tennessee game in context a little bit because again, I saw a drop. I saw he was wide open in the end zone. I'm blaming the quarterback completely on that one. He threw it literally like in front of his feet, not at his feet. It was a really bad pass, but I saw enough in that game that people point out to be why he can beat like NFL competition that I was even like, okay, there's some inconsistency here. Even in this really big game where he had 143 yards and a touchdown, I just want to ask more directly, are you concerned about his level of competition? Is there enough? Because I only watched the Tennessee game. That's all I watched. That's it. Those who are listening, I just want like just to be honest about that. Are you worried at all?
No, because I think it's baked into into his capital. Would I worry about it if I was going to take him as a first round pick?
Right.
Yeah, but as a second round pick versus what his potential is and just what he said he's done and how he has played it, like up to competition. You know, like so no, not really, because we've also seen plenty of small school kids come out and.
Yep.
Become major players.
Absolutely.
Devontae Adams went to Fresno State. You know what I mean? I mean, like, we could just bring out names for days and, you know, Terrell Owens, Chattanooga.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
but,
right,
like,
right.
Long story short, it's like great players come out of small schools. But the thing is, too, is like when we look at, like, we were talking about Mox and he was going in the third round. in mocks.
Yep.
But he's going in NFL mocks in the second round in a lot. Yep. It's kind of like, we got to see how that shakes out. Like, I'm sorry, NFL teams are not going to risk a second round draft pick on the guy they're not confident in.
Oh, but I agree.
And the other thing too, that I find interesting about that, because you're right, is that a big part of that was that one big catch for Tolbert. But that's what he brings. He brings that big game potential. You know, that's what makes Jamar Chase Jamar Chase.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I'm not saying he's Jamar Chase. That's not my point. My point is what makes Jamar Chase different than other wide receivers is the way that he breaks out big plays. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And obviously, he's a beast consistently and just eats. But his big play ability, he showed it against Tennessee, against secondaries that are going to be in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that's nice to see. I mean, you want to see that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And to your point, like, I was looking at mocks before we jumped on the mic, and I saw him going anywhere between like 50 and 70. And yet in mock drafts that you and I have been in together several times and other mock drafts, and now I'm talking about rookie mock drafts, I'm seeing him go late third round.
Yep.
And he's going, I really like that zone you had him in at 9, when I gave you a little thumbs up when you said 9, because I think he belongs in that tier with Pickens, Bell, Watson, maybe even Sky Moore, depending on your rankings. I think he belongs in that discussion,
yeah,
right in that area, at least, because like after Wilson, Burks, London, Williams, Olave, Dotson, like those are like the popular kind of 6 or 7. I'm not seeing Tolbert anywhere near this discussion. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's south of all those players I mentioned and more. And I see him more often in our rookie mocks. Well, yeah, more often in round 4 than I see him in round 2. I'll see Tolbert in round 4 of a rookie mock more times than round 2 of a rookie mock.
So I would absolutely take him at the end of a second round rookie mock. I don't know if I'm sure you're taking down notes every time I pick a draft position when we do mocks, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Because I've been taking like the 10, the 11, or the 12, and it's literally because of Tolbert, right?
Yeah.
Because what I'm doing is I'm not taking him in the second round because I'm in a mock and I want to see how he slides.
Right.
And I've been getting him at the end of the third. And in my mind, I'm like, why is this happening? And I'm like, this is not going to happen in actual rookie drafts at the NFL draft. I just feel like people aren't caught up to Tolbert. They need the draft capital to then eventually go in and be like, why wasn't I on this guy?
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because okay. Like I'm not going to sit there and like be like, I said it first. Who cares, man? Like, it's like, depends on like, where you actually get the guy or not. But that's what I've been doing. Now, it's interesting you brought up the tiers thing. So for me, I have my rookie tier. So I have him in the third tier. So my second tier, like, you got all the big names, and I actually have Pickens at the end of the second tier.
Okay.
Like, I think Pickens has got clear NFL potential where he could be the best wide receiver in the class. You know what I mean? He's just injury prone
and upside,
kind of a knucklehead. You know what I mean? So long story short is, but my tier 3, my 8 wide receiver is David Bell. And then my 9 is Jalen Tolbert. And then my 10 is Sky Moore. Nice. Right?
Right.
And then I would probably put like Watson right behind them, but I would also take, just because, you know, if you want to talk about pass catchers, I would put Trey McBride right in front of Watson. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But I definitely have in front of Sky Moore. And you know how people feel about like their takes. They'd be like, how could you possibly have him in front of Sky Moore? And I'm like, because it's a totally legit argument. You know,
I think it really is.
Yeah, because also like Sky Moore is like more of like a slot gadget. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be able to, like, you know, you're going to hope he gets peppered with like, you know, 100 catches, and like you're going to let him like run after the ball. He's a 6'3" freak athlete who's going to get down the field and get a ton of air yards, and just, he's going to be a red zone threat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like, to me, like, Tolbert has a better ceiling than Moore, where Moore has a better floor because he's more of like, he's going to get peppered with targets. You know what I mean?
Sure. In the right offense.
Yeah, of course. And like, we got, and this is also where we start seeing draft capital and landing spot that's going to come out. But you know, who I have a better feel for the upside, it's Tolbert. And I know I have 1-9, 1-10, but it's really not that close for me.
Nice.
You know, but if someone were to offer me like a late second to move back to go draft like Moore versus Tolbert, I would not flinch at that. You know, like
it.
But other than that, like, no, I like Tolbert a lot.
How do you see him utilized in NFL offices? Slot, mix of slot, outside?
Outside. He can definitely play like in different spots, but that's where he's going to specialize. At 6'3", he's a bigger wide receiver. He's got the speed. And the thing that honestly kind of worries me about Tolbert is that I think that his route tree is going to need to develop a little bit, but I also don't think he didn't need to do those things at Southern Alabama because they treated him as an outside deep threat where they were like, you know, get down the field and like, you know, get us the lead. Yeah. But I definitely think he's going to be more of an outside guy and they're going to look for him to get down the field.
All right. Well, you just alluded to it there. Give me a juicy landing spot for Tolbert.
So a juicy landing spot for Tolbert. My number one is honestly, I might be a little homer here. The Patriots.
Gotcha.
But let's put it this way. So I want him to get somewhere where he can grow into a wide receiver two role. Like, I don't want him to be like he can't be relied upon the guy. And I don't think he's going to get the capital to be thought of that way. Right. Mm-hmm. But I do think that if he plays with an established wide receiver one with an established quarterback that he can get in some one-on-one situations, that's where he could excel. Throw in a guy that's like, you know, going to keep you honest in the slot, like, you know, even like a Cole Beasley, like, I think that helps him out, you know, but mm-hmm. The Patriots is perfect. You know, you got Mac Jones, you brought in Devontae Parker to be your wide receiver one. Jacoby Myers is more than serviceable as the slot guy. I mean, you saw what Bohr did last year. So like, you can imagine Tolbert in that role. Bias here? Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge Pats fan, but it's an amazing fit. And there's a chance that he's there at 54, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I think it's very realistic. I've had a bunch of PFFs where like he lands at 85, which is never going to happen, but I love doing because it's such a nice stream. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so like, I think that's a great one. Second, the Raiders opposite Devontae, Derek Carr loved to throw the ball deep, made for him, you know, then where did Devontae leave? Green Bay goes with Rodgers. No one else there. So he will have like, you know, so he'll get a good amount of defensive attention, but, and the expectation will be there on day one, but still, you still got Aaron Rodgers throwing you the ball.
So your favorite is New England, correct?
Yeah.
All right. What about realistic expectations year one in New England?
I would say maybe around like 50, 60 catches, probably around like 750, 800 yards, like 5 to 7 TDs.
Yeah, that sounds like a Jerry Jeudy rookie season, actually. Like right around.
And
that's
I think
rookie season.
Yeah, and that's realistic. But I also think there's potential to be a little bit more there. But I feel like that's a realistic place for him to be, you know? And I think the other thing I didn't say is Mac throws a very good, accurate deep ball.
Match made in heaven right there, then, perfect. Right?
You know, it's, yeah. You know, he's tough. Just go watch what he did with Jalen, like Waddle and like Devontae Smith at Alabama. It's the same thing, man.
Nice.
You know,
what's a realistic ceiling and floor for the player?
I think realistically, I'm looking at him as a top 15 potential wide receiver. Like, wow, okay. I just think he has the tools to do that. And we're talking about ceiling, right?
Yeah.
And we're talking about what I think he's capable of being. And I think that the guy continuously gotten better. He's got a huge chip on his shoulder. He's got the athleticism. He's definitely a player that's going to fit well in NFL offenses. He moves more like a 5'10 guy than a 6'3 guy. So that's it. Now, the floor being is that he ends up being like MVS. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Where he's just kind of like that boom bust deep ball. I need to catch this every once in a while, off and on. And that's totally realistic. It really depends on what system he gets put into and how he develops in that route tree. And I really think that the role that he gets put in his first few years is really going to be important for him. Like, sure, he's got to be trusted to do more than just run the fly route or like a deep post. You know what I mean? And like, give him the ability to develop. So I truly believe that he could develop into something special.
Now let's get negative. Let's talk. You talked about one of his weaknesses. You said that his route tree, right?
Yep.
That was one of his weaknesses that you said. If he's going to fail in the NFL, why is he going to?
Because he's going to be one-dimensional.
Okay.
Like I think
he'll just be considered a deep threat typecast.
Yep. And because I think that's where we start seeing the lack of competition being a concern. He's always burning his competition. You know, it's not going to be like that at the NFL level, right? And it's not to say that he doesn't have more diversity in his routes or that he can't do that. He wasn't asked to. So that's the big thing with him, is that like, him having the opportunity to develop because now he's asked to do more and he doesn't need to just be physically dominant over his competition, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing that I see he could struggle with is against like a stronger aggressive corner. And I like how I threw out Jalen like Ramsey before I said he's going to call him out. Jalen Ramsey's the perfect example. Jalen Ramsey, I could see potentially manhandling him up on a jam. You know, gotcha. Like he's going to have to like get a little stronger, get a little bit like off the release. Like he's a guy who's going to not need, if you get a hand on him, that he's not going to be able to get that step. And that's what he needs, you know? So like bigger, stronger corners, he's going to need how to learn how to like fight. He's got to learn how to fight.
I have a player comp for you. I don't ask for player comps. I ask for player comp reactions. And NFL analyst Lance Zierlein compared him to Marvin Jones.
I don't hate that.
Okay.
I don't hate that at all. Because I think that's what Marvin Jones does is that like he was an aggressive downfield like catcher. But the other thing too, when Jones eventually became in, he started kind of like being able to run like, you know, those intermediate routes where they give him the ball and he was able to be, he's an aggressive play style runner. Like he's not going to juke guys, but he's going to be able to like catch the ball after the, like find the vision and like aggressively get downfield, you know? So like, and I feel like at Marvin Jones at his best, like we saw him as like a top 15 wide receiver.
Yeah, points, we sure
you know
did.
What I mean? I mean, I think he's like an ageless wonder at this point. You know what I mean? That we forgot what he was like in his prime. Like he was a beast, you know? So, yeah, I like that a lot. I actually think that's a really good comp. I think that's a really good comp. And I wish I thought of it myself.
Well, you can use it. I think Lance will let you.
Thank you, Lance.
Before we move on to the final two questions in this profile, is there anything that you want to add about this player that you didn't get a chance to through my questions?
I think one of the only things I don't really think that we really talked about is this is something that I really like in players. And it's like, people say that like, oh, you're a film guy. I go, not really. I'm an eye test guy. A film guy would mean that like I'm grinding through hours of film. Like I've not done enough football that I watch enough that I'm like, oh, I see that in him. You know what I mean? I don't need to watch like 16 hours of like footage to be like, this guy's impressive because of this. You know what I mean?
Right.
So like I'm an eye test guy. I go with my gut and I still beat Dave, even though he has massive spreadsheets. So long story short is like his high point ability, his timing on the high catches.
Oh, nice. Right?
Like he's perfect. Like, okay, perfect. I'm getting excited. He's not perfect, but like he's impressive, you know? Like, and impressive. Those are things that go. Like when you have like contested catches, you know? Like Devontae Parker is a perfect example. Devontae Parker, when he's healthy, like he wins so many contested catches and he's able to do those things down the field. In the NFL, you're not going to burn every guy. You know what I mean? You got to be able to jump up and win some fights up in the air. You know, Tolbert's coming from a small school. He's going to fight. Like he's going to come out with something to prove. And you just see the athleticism and the timing and just the playmaking ability.
All right. So we are going to transition away from Jalen Tolbert, your guy.
Why?
I need you to tell me. I love that. I need you to tell me who is other than Jalen Tolbert. Who's your guy in this year's draft? Who are you hanging your hat on?
Oh, man.
This is a guy that you're like, you know what? You go here, he can do you no wrong.
Dude, okay. I'll just fly. I'll say I'm Sam Howell, man. I am a Sam Howell truther. He's my QB1. He came into an ACC team, started as a first-year starter, just made every NFL throw. He looks like an NFL quarterback, and then he loses all of his talent that went to the NFL, your Carters, your Williams, your Browns, you know, your Newsons, right? And then what's he do? He shows that he can run. You know what I mean?
He runs.
And he's always had that. So now he's had, and for some reason, like, I feel like it's the same thing with like Fields over like Lawrence, which is fair, actually. Like, I was that guy being like, you're just bored of Lawrence. You know what I mean? But to a certain degree, like, there's more of an argument here. Well, Howell to me has got a 3-year track record that just shows that dude can play. And if you watch him throw a football, people be like, oh, that back foot or like the lack of efficiency. I go, because I'm sorry. We're talking about the back foot and you're saying lack of efficiency when he's like breaking records and like he lost like his whole line and all of his receivers and still put up crazy numbers. You know, Josh Downs is going to end up being a second round draft pick because he played with Howell for a year. And like the other thing I want to point out is like the whole second round thing, like, oh, if a quarterback goes in the second round, it's not worth the investment.
Yeah.
If they go in the second round and they have a chance to be a starter in the NFL, like let's stop. Like also, we're talking about these guys being like 10 picks away from the first round. Like, right. We're not talking like the fifth, the 60th pick. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So like you're talking like you're in the high, like you're still in the 30s, low 40s range. We're not that far off from a first round pick.
No,
at that point we're like, and I get it. I get the whole percentages and stuff like that. But I think this draft is just different when it comes to that, you know, and pretty much every single quarterback could be the first quarterback off the board at this point.
Well, that's what I like about you saying Sam Howell, be honest with you, because there's going to be leagues in Superflex where Malik Willis is going to go 102, 103 area. And there are a lot of people that even are going to make that pick that just feel like they should for the upside.
Right.
And the reality is every one of these quarterbacks belong probably in the same tier when you're looking at them. Right. So if you have somebody like yourself, that's just clearly saying somebody that's not Malik Willis, that makes a strong argument to get a high value shot at a quarterback in the late first round, which you can almost never do. You weren't getting any of those quarterbacks last year in the late first.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I know we can cherry pick and say, you know, Herbert and things like that, and we can play, you know, back to the future. But the reality is, you know, I think that's a great call by you to say Sam Howell, because, you know, we're going to have these choices in our super flex drafts. And when the rookie draft actually happened in a month or so, and a little confidence in Sam Howell, who's probably going to be quite honest, the fourth quarterback, maybe off, maybe fifth right now. And in some of these rookie mocks right now. And again, these I keep hearing time and time again that, we'll let the NFL draft decide how to shuffle these quarterbacks out. Don't trust that either. They don't get it right either. So
no, I mean,
come in with a strong stance and stick with it.
Yeah. I mean, the second quarterback off the board last year was Zach Wilson.
Yep.
I mean, did we automatically just say Zach Wilson was the second best quarterback?
Nope,
I don't think anybody really did. You know what I mean? Yep. But the other thing though, too, is like for this draft, I'm not as high on capital because we know these guys are not going like high. And if Willis goes in the top like 10, that doesn't change my assessment of him, you know, but it's a landing spot, the system. You know what I mean?
Yep, sure.
And absolutely. Like where they're going to be a part of that. That's important to me. Now, if Sam Howell ended up like in Seattle, I'd be pissed. Right. You know, like Seattle, like they got targets, but there's just like so many issues with the line, the transitions there. It's just, I if any quarterback falling there, I don't love it, but you know they're going to get a chance to play, but it's kind of like it kills their ceiling for me. I actually love guys landing to Detroit. I think Detroit's putting together some nice things.
Yeah, they really are.
You're just not going to, none of these guys you should be expecting off from 2022.
Yeah, not I agree. What about one guy you think everyone's going to overdraft?
Drake London. I get the potential. I think people are getting like really ahead that like he's a surefire like Pro Bowler. I mean, Drake London like wasn't really putting up big numbers. Like St. Brown was just getting peppered with targets. Like Pittman was playing over him. Like these are guys that like he was like he really had like a breakout year last year. Is he a good player? Heck yeah. Is he first round pick? Heck yeah. But like so many people are like, oh, he is the number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
He's not the number one wide receiver for me. He is maybe my fourth, you know, Wilson and Burks and then everybody else, as far as I'm concerned, I could shuffle them around, but like Wilson and Burks are by far my favorite too. But my point being is that I just kind of feel like you're seeing him going in the top five of some Superflex drafts.
Absolutely.
And I'm just like, I just don't see it, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, like Wilson is just a natural, like just a gifted athlete. You know what I mean? Yes, he's a first round pick, but he's not close to number one receiver for me.
Yeah, I feel it. Like, I think he's one of those players where there's like a lot of upside.
Yeah.
I like the guy that runs amazing routes and is an awesome athlete.
Garrett Wilson.
Yeah. And Wilson's one of those players. I mean, you want him to land in a great spot. And if he really is the first wide receiver off the board, it might not be so great. But Wilson is one of those guys that I think he's still going to be okay in a not so great spot. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you can say the same thing about Drake London. I don't think you can.
No. I think Drake London needs to be like
in the perfect spot.
Right. Oh my God. If he landed with like Aaron Rodgers, like, take whatever I say out of context.
Exactly.
That's perfect.
I'm with you. I said that on Rookie Fever 2 weeks ago.
I did not listen. I swear. And I normally do. I've been busy, bro. So like point being is that like, that situation can change, but that's also like saying you just hit the lottery. No kidding. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So yeah, but yeah, London's definitely my guy that I feel people are a little too high on.
I'll forgive you for not listening or being caught up on Rookie Fever since you're like, you know, having babies and stuff.
It's funny that you said you haven't done as many mocks this year, because last year I listened to every episode from this, and this year I have like 11 downloaded and I've listened to one.
That's okay. That's okay. They're easy listens, man. Anybody who's listening right now, if you're behind,
yeah,
catch up. It's very easy to catch up. I re-listened to my profiles, and I listen to Swag's profiles in the shower. That's it, man. I'm done. When I'm done getting ready, I've already listened to a profile.
I already know that this is going to be like my big burn through when like after the draft, like
You're going to binge it. You're going to binge Rookie Profiles. I love binging it.
And I love this. Like, it was so funny. I inspired to my wife and like, it was like, so is this a big part? I'm like, yeah, it's actually a lot of people listen to it. I'm shocked they asked me to be on it. So I was like, I'm low on the totem pole as far as notoriety on the show for who they pull. But I was like, so it's cool. Like, this is a show that I actually listened to that I got asked to be on. So it's cool. So
that's awesome. Thank you so much for saying that.
Yeah, man, it's the truth.
And thank you for joining me, and thank you, our listeners, for making the Rookie Fever podcast part of your day, evening, morning, shower routine, like I said, whenever you listen to it. And Swagzilla Zero G also thanks you. Make sure to listen to all the rookie profiles in this series. Todd, is there anything you want to let our listeners know, where they can find your content, where they can find you? I know I mentioned the Tale of Two Rivals, but please just and plug away.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. Tale of Two Rivals will go to hiatus because I had a kid, but we'll be back this week or next week. I just got to connect with Dave. Honestly, I'd rather just plug Dave. I mean, like Spaceman, FF Spaceman, like Patreon, like Dave is not only one of the more genuine people out there, but like his database is legit. Yeah. I actually do use it, though. If you go to my podcast, I probably will say that I don't, because it's fun. but yeah, no, but like Dave stuff. But for me, mostly, like, I've kind of taken a hiatus from like writing and everything just because of, you know, family life.
Yeah.
But I love to connect with people, and like, if you want to get my opinion, even just ask me stupid things like top five wide receivers all the time. Like, I love that stuff. Like, my name is very true to it. It's who I am. Banter, man. Like, I love just banter, you know. Nice. So like, just hit me up on Twitter to talk. I'm down.
Nice. You can find him at FF_banterman. You can find David Wright, FF_spaceman. Is that still a lowercase FF?
Yes, it is. And yeah. I would also like to point out, in weeks that we've been in together, I have 10 titles in ES3. Just want to point that out.
And that's also on his Twitter bio. So that's
Yes, it is.
All right. Make sure everyone listens to these rookie profiles. Binge them if you have to. This is the Rookie Fever Podcast. Please do not forget to rate and review. And please do not forget to be awesome. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you're long on a treat you ride. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 style? He's never done this to before. And run, I told you anyone. Silence be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, let's just break out a full Rookie Fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's beat the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.